This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. We're broadcasting live from Grand Rapids, Minnesota tonight, a Mississippi River town in the heart of Itasca County. We've been talking about summer nights, and if you could just join me for a moment in picturing a summer night almost 73 years ago. July 14th, 1945. It was a clear, warm night, 60 degrees, not too hot, good sleeping weather during a time when few people had air conditioning. If anyone in central Itasca County was awake, they would have heard the sound of a B-29 bomber making a high-altitude pass over the county on its way to an air base out west. And that's what leads us to our next guests here, Mike Moline and Kevin Helblad. Mike, tell me what happened that night.
Oh, thanks. First of all, a B-29, if you get an idea what kind of aircraft it is, it's a type to drop the atom bomb. And I just found out one of the member of the audience tonight, his dad was a commander on a B-29. But I got to move on. The B-29 flew out of Texas and was flying to Minnesota on a training mission, then going to Montana. And what they had was they had extra fuel bladders in the aircraft. And one of them sprung a leak when it got towards Minnesota. And one of the crew members went back to check on it, and he did not have any oxygen or a parachute, and he became overcome by the fumes. His commander was able to drag him back, and then the whole crew became affected by the fumes. As a matter of fact, they couldn't even really function. It was just, they couldn't move their hands. But they eventually turned the aircraft towards Montana at a heading of about 270, which would take it over Deer River and Bemidji. We figure that setting was a little bit off. It ended up going towards Big Fork. The commander ordered everybody to bail out. They bailed out, and it was midnight, dark. And remember, a lot of these crews at that time were from all over the country, and they bailed out into this wilderness, and we were talking about that earlier, or you were talking about earlier about the bears, and some of them were pretty scared. They ended up staying in the trees because they were afraid of bears. Some landed in Napoleon Lake. Some landed in Island Lake near North Home. The forest rangers were called to look for them, and fortunately they were all found. There was actually only like one sprained ankle. And the Rotary Club in Grand Rapids the next day actually had a dinner for him. And so what I'm going to do is turn it over to Kevin to talk about the ghost aircraft, the B-29. Thank you.
Because we still haven't found it.
Still haven't found it.
Yeah. Kevin, tell us about that.
Okay. First of all, just two words as far as to finish up what Mike was saying. They were quite easy to find from a small aircraft because over a 30-mile stretch, they could see the parachutes for a long ways, laying in the woods or in the lakes or the edge of a lake. And so after the crew bailed out southeast of Big Fork, it continued on in a straight line as a ghost, losing altitude from 9,500 feet to going over a house on the southeast shore of Upper Red Lake, low enough to rattle the plates in the cupboards and rattle windows. Losing altitude due to the nose wheel being lowered, so the crew in the front of the aircraft, that's how they exited from the craft when they bailed out. Plus, they were losing a large amount of fuel, which changed the center of gravity of the aircraft. One of the people in the house had been a crewman on a B-29 in Europe and was shot down and taken prisoner. As the war in Europe was over and the prisoners had been released, he had been home only 2 weeks. He recognized the sound of a four-engine aircraft in the dark, as it was 15 minutes after midnight on July 15th, at that time, 1945, when it entered Red Lake. Many interested people have been involved in the search, which used the path of the perfectly straight line from Markham Lake, where they changed the course to over south of Big Fork and the Urseth House. We had ourselves convinced that it was relatively intact, as there was no local lore of anything ever washing ashore. Early on, we were aware of a 5-6 acre area of deep mud, but there were no clear pieces sticking out of the mud. We continued side scanning back and forth for more hours than I care to admit to, and that was on the off the Red Lake Indian Reservation, up to the reservation line. We were told by a native who was coming across the lake after picking up his nets on the north shore. He explained that what he'd seen looked like a car rim down in the water years earlier. A native crew was trained with our equipment. They did a perfect job and was found when what was found was a large steamboat showed up very clear, the side of this boat with the stack and everything. What the man had seen was the top of the smokestack. If you ever see a smokestack on an old steam engine, they have a top kind of that would look like a car rim from the top. Unbelievable that it had survived the ice for over 100 years, likely. The mud mentioned has been attempted to be dived with no success, as it's just the flipper on the diver or his hand touches any of that mud and he's got to leave because it just, you can't see. First of all, you can't see in Red Lake anyway because of the tannin stained water, and below 9 feet there's zero light, and with a strong light you can see that far. And not a lake to scuba dive in. The area has been dragged in every pass, something is easily hooked. We learned that had 20 100-pound practice bombs on it, which what we didn't know till right at the end here is that those practice bombs are exploded by an 8-gauge shotgun shell, which then sets off 3 pounds of black powder. So that means there was 60 pounds of black powder plus a saturated environment of gas, avgas, and that, we feel, blew it apart, and then all these parts laying in that area acted like a snow fence, and all these logs and mud drifted in over all these years. We do not want the plane. That's the first thing I want to say. We just want a piece of it to put in the Big Bog Recreation Park in Washkish and tell the story, because it's such an interesting story.
Yeah.
I'm just going to close with one thing. Anybody that wants to get an accident report, either talk to somebody that already has one and get a copy, or it's accidentreport.com. You go Big Fork, Minnesota, Itasca County, and yes, Michael Stowe gets money for it, but it's quite interesting reading. But there's only 7 words in that 60-page accident report about the whereabouts of the aircraft. It says, search for aircraft was discontinued July 18th, 1945. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. And yeah, and Mike, you have one more thing.
I got one more thing. When we're at the cabin on Red Lake, I want to wake up some morning after a storm and find a B-29 on the beach. That's my dream.
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen, for telling the story of this great story.